You know, some of the most favorite guys I've ever seen around here are guys that I have nothing to do with. Nothing to do with. I don't, other than a hi, a hello, a smile on them, but I watch these guys come alive. I watch them come alive, man, and I'll just swing into this. I remember when I wanted to be baptized. I wanted to be baptized because I didn't come from a religious kind of family or whatever, and so I was going from church to church to church, trying to find out where I wanted to go, you know, and they talk about lepers and they talk about this stuff, and I'm thinking, hey, you guys got any new pamphlets out of Jerusalem? It's like, what do you got? You know, what do you got new? Sorry if I'm offending anybody. You know, what's new? What's new? You know, what do you got? And it's like they talk about lepers. It's like, dude, I see lepers every day. Don't tell me about lepers getting healed. I watch them. I watch these people come in, pariahs, eyes black, nothing like sharks, walking in, just torn up skin. Their family hates them. Nobody wants anything to do with them. I watch these people walk in and come alive. So don't talk to me about lepers being healed, because I see them being healed. And then I'm thinking, well, what am I going to do? And I think, no, what I'm going to do? I'm going to get one of these priests in AA to baptize me. I see them around here, sneaking around, collars off. So I came up to Father Leo. A lot of you guys might know Leo, right? So Leo and I are friends, and Leo's this little Dudley Moore looking thing, man. You know what I mean? He's like little, you know. So I go, hey Leo, will you baptize me? He goes, oh, I'd love to, Jack Buddy. You know, he's all smooth and he goes, you know, anybody can baptize you. I go, what? And he goes, anybody can baptize you. Now, I didn't know that. I didn't grow up in a religious family. I didn't know anybody could baptize me. So I started thinking, who do I want to baptize me, right? I mentor this sponsor, this Jewish guy, Jordan. I think I'm going to get Jordan to do it, right? We'll go to the riverbed. We'll get some robes, you know, whatever. It's like I got a plan going on. And then while I'm thinking about it, I'm thinking, you know what? My little girl's never been baptized. My little Georgia's never been baptized. So I go home and I'm thinking about my little George, and George at the time, she was 6 years old, she's 18 now, and no teeth, you know, little freckle face, little girl, you know, killerest little kid, and she's up in her bunk bed, and I get this bowl, and I fill this bowl full of water, and I say, you know, God, will you please bless this water? You know what I want to do with it, and I walked into my daughter's room, and she's laying on her bunk bed, and I go, hey, sweetheart, I go, can I talk to you about God? And she goes, yeah, Dad, what's up? I go, you know, we're like a big family, right? And it's our job to take care of each other. And she goes, yeah, I know that. And I go, and you know how much God loves you, right? And she goes, yeah, Dad, I know. I go, and you know, this is why we bring people into our homes and we help them and we reach out. And she goes, yeah, Dad, I know. I go, and you know how much God loves you? And she goes, yeah, Dad, I know. I go, do you mind if I mark you as one of God's kids? And she goes, no. So I dip my fingers in the water and I say, Georgia, I baptize you in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. And then I lean down and I give her a kiss and I say, I love you, sweetheart. Good night. And I turn to walk away and this little voice says, can I do you? Aww. I go, oh, shit, yeah. And I get the water and I hold it out for her. She's six. She dips her fingers in and she says, Pops, I baptize you in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. And she pulls me down and kisses me. And she says, good night. And I ended up getting baptized by my six-year-old, man. And, you know, and it was the craziest thing because a couple of weeks later, she came up to me and she said, I still feel that on me. And, you know, real, real cool kid. And, all right, so now I'll tell you how I got here. Now all that high level chat has gone on. I was living at my mother's when I got here. And if it was up to my mother, I would still be living at my mother's right now. The Al-Anon people never got one hand on my mom, man. The blood of the lamb was spray painted on our front door and the Al-Anons just drifted right on by. Never got in there. I would go to jail, I'd get arrested, and my mom would go, they're always picking on you, sweetheart. I'd be in the neighbor's yard, passed out with my pants down any time of the day or night. And if the neighbors had the balls to come over and complain, My mother'd say, leave him alone, he's an artist. Just rough. And how I got here is a buddy of mine got busted on a cocaine trafficking charge. And it was pretty funny because I know the guy, man, and he gets popped on a cocaine trafficking charge and he goes to court. Now, I believe more alcoholics are created in court than anywhere else in the world. It's not the first drink, it's not the local bar, it is court. Because hundreds of thousands of us go into court every day non-alcoholic. And we get in front of the judge. The judge says, Mr. Smith, you're looking at a year sentence. But if you were an alcoholic, you could do a 90-day treatment program. Oh, I'm an alcoholic, Your Honor. Now everybody is, right? No, not so. I don't know if we have any new guys here, but I always warn the new guys, I'm your friend. I'm here to tell you the truth. I'm your friend. If you're brand new here, don't try blowing smoke up our ass telling us how stoked you are to be here. We know that's not true. It's like my buddy Frank Honeycutt used to say, if you are brand new and happy to be here, you are too sick to stay. I get it, man. I mean, there's a certain level of when you wake up that this is bad news, man. I mean, your whole life, now you're here. You're in AA. This is it. I remember I had a guy sit next to me in a meeting one time, and I could smell like an acrid, kind of a burning smell and a crackling from him a little bit. And I realized it was his mind. And I looked at him. I looked at him, and he looks at me, and he puts his hand on me, and he goes, Jack? And I go, yeah. And he goes, I've got a PhD. I go, yeah. And you're sitting next to a guy that's got shit in his pants. I go, what now, doctor? Anyway, it's like, this ain't fun. You know what I mean? When we wake up to this. So when you're brand new and you're in here, tell us you're bummed. It's okay. Tell us you don't like your sponsor, you hate where you're staying. You know, staying in a room with eight other guys ain't cool. Tell us. Because it's okay, because love and tolerance is our code. That's our code. You can stand up in our meetings, flip us all off, tell us to go to hell, and we'll just clap and tell you to keep coming back. And as you go stomping out the door, future secretary, get it. Because there's another sign that should be over the door too, and that sign is, you will be back. Because if you're one of us and you don't die, you will be back. Because you don't got anywhere else to go. And the other thing about telling the truth, starting from day one, get used to just telling the truth and getting it out there, is because you'll also find that no matter what you say in AA, somebody will disagree with you. You can stand at the podium and say, the ocean is wet. And somebody else will stand up and go, no, not along the edge, it's not. No, it's extremely dry. And because I said that joke about more alcoholics being created in court one time, and it's a joke, but it's a funny joke, because it's true, right? And I said it, and this dude walks up to me afterwards, and he goes, can I talk to you, man? I go, yeah, what's up, dude? He goes, I did the year, dog. I go, what? He goes, I did the year, dog. I go, then you're a stupid alcoholic, man. Oh, my God. If you don't got enough sense to cop a plea to stay out of jail, you better get up on in here and start working some steps, guy, because your ass is going to die with that weak game out there. Anyway, and that's what happened to my buddy. He went to court, and all of a sudden, he had a problem. He did not have a problem 2 weeks before that. I was getting loaded with him. There was no problem mentioned, you know what I mean? It wasn't like, hey, you know what, I think I got a problem, I'm going to set out on that last line of blow, why don't you clean that up for us? It was, are you cutting that even, dude? There was no problem mentioned. Well, now he goes to AA, he says he's got a problem, and they send him up there, and he goes to treatment, and they do a healing on him, or whatever the hell they're doing on those people, getting them all pumped full of the spirit. Are we good? Okay. Everybody's okay? Okay. Anyway, so they're getting them all pumped full of the spirit, and he comes back to Long Beach, where I'm living at the time, and he starts out as a reformer. Like, the big book says we're not supposed to start out as reformers, but that's what this guy did. He came back to Long Beach with this crazy walking hand in hand with Bill, Bob, and Jesus thing. And he's going to save the neighborhood. And where's his first stop? My mother's house. Stop number one.